Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
People on the right and the left are criticizing President Obama, and it has nothing to do with the economy or the payroll tax. It has to do with indefinite detention of suspected terrorists and the president's decision not to veto a bill that critics say would allow, by U.S. law, foreign nationals and Americans alike to be detained indefinitely without a trial. And it's all in the name of national security. But there seems to be some disagreement about exactly what the law would do and who it would cover. So to explain the bill and whether this is actually a reversal by the president is journalist Mark Danner, who's written about this issue for years as a frequent contributor to the New York Review of Books and is the author of Stripping Bare the Body, Politics, Violence, War. Also joining us, a critic of the president's record on human rights, Lisa Sarsour, the director of Sarsour, the director of the Arab American Association of New York. Mark, Linda, thanks for coming on WNYC today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Brian.
Mark Danner, I know you're in Ramallah, and this bill is part of the 2012 National Defense Reauthorization Act. What would the law actually allow with respect to indefinite detention? Why is Human Rights Watch calling this bill a historic tragedy for rights?
Well, the bill doesn't dramatically change the issue of indefinite detention itself. The president's, or at least it doesn't change the president's position on it. Since May 2009, he has held that there are prisoners in Guantanamo who can neither be tried nor released. So very early on in his term, he essentially reversed himself from his campaign position, which was people should either be given trials or they should be released. What this bill does is sign into law a requirement that those arrested for suspected terrorist offenses can be detained indefinitely and indeed must be put into the military system of detention. That is, the option for civilian trial, which was used with Mr. Abdulmutallab, for example, who so-called Christmas Day or underwear bomber who tried to bomb the plane over Detroit, he was given over to FBI custody and is in the civilian system. That will no longer be possible. So it's shifting completely to military detention, and it also makes it possible at the president's discretion to do this with American citizens, which is unprecedented. So we have here an indefinite detention system which was modeled after the system of POWs used during wars. The problem is that we have an endless war, a war that essentially has been going on now for a decade and more, and which we essentially don't know how to end. The bill that is passed essentially makes this war, broadens the war, and shows no sign of ending it at all. So we have essentially, you know, Ron Paul, I think, called it martial law. I've called it in the New York Review of Books a state of exception. But what is unusual about it isn't that it is imposed during wartime. This has happened before. What is unusual about it is that it is indefinite. It seems to be going on forever. And it also can be used on American civilians, which is unprecedented.
You mentioned Ron Paul. Here is a clip of the presidential hopeful, congressman, Republican from Texas, of course, on the Alex Jones radio show last week. He was asked about this bill and said this.
You know, our government's been involved with our CIA and involvement in overthrowing governments and this for a long, long time. And, of course, last spring, I guess it was in February, where the administration admitted that they could assassinate American citizens, and now they're putting it into law. So this to me is an extremely wrong way to go. This is a giant step. This should be the biggest news going right now. It's literally legalizing martial law.
So, Mark Danner, very strong language there. And, of course, Ron Paul didn't get to be Ron Paul by mincing words or by worrying about the political consequences of what he has said as a libertarian over all these years. I don't know how much that's going to help him win the Iowa caucuses. But he's referring in that clip to the administration issuing a kill order on an American citizen, Anwar al-Awlaki, who was then killed, in fact, by a drone in September in Yemen. It seems the U.S. powers are already pretty broad. So does this law change anything with respect to the protections that U.S. citizens have? Does it constitute martial law, in your opinion, such a such a strong phrase that Ron Paul uses there? And is it really indefinite detention, which makes it sound like they just lock you up forever? Or is it just that they would be put before military tribunals as opposed to into civilian courts?
Well, those are all good questions. I think this is a significant change in American law. There's no question about it, particularly the fact that it grants the president power to imprison civilians in military custody without due process. I think that is a striking change. When you ask about indefinite detention, it's an interesting question. The problem is this kind of detention has happened in wartime before. What is different is the war itself is declared to be endless. Last month, we had the strange fact that, on the one hand, the CIA, high officials in the CIA, were declaring that Al-Qaeda had been virtually destroyed, and at the same time, they were saying that the organization is more dangerous than ever. So we have the groundwork laid here for an unceasing war, which itself makes detention provisions that are tied to the war indefinite and endless. And I think martial law, you know, that phrase is a bit vague, just like state of emergency or state of siege. But in effect, we have had imposed since September 11, 2001, I think the equivalent in this country. And what's surprising is that President Obama, after speaking very eloquently about civil liberties and about ending many of these abuses that originated during the Bush administration, has really, in general, had the effect of making them permanent. I mean, that really has been his legacy. He's taken all these things that were ad hoc, and he has made them permanent in the law. And I think absolutely no one would have predicted that this would have been what he did during office, given his record as a senator and what he said as a campaigner as well.
And we'll get back to some of the vague language in this law in a minute, but also with us is Linda Sarsour, the director of the Arab American Association of New York, who has called President Obama terrible on civil rights. But Linda, you were recently invited to the White House to receive an award despite your comments. What was that for?
I was honored by the White House as a champion of change, which is the truth. And I went there with 9 other Americans who are doing amazing work in their local communities. And I want to say that, you know, we can continue to engage with the White House and engage with the administration and still stand on principle. And in the past, I've been a critic on the administration when it comes to immigration reform. The promise that President Obama made to us was that he was going to close Guantanamo Bay, and he didn't. And I want to talk a little bit more about this defense bill. And I think that one of the things that's really confusing to me is that I feel like all of our fellow Americans are up in arms on this defense bill, but, you know, where were people, you know, 10 years ago when the Patriot Act was signed, or just this past year when the Patriot Act was extended for another 4 years by this administration? I mean, this defense bill, if signed into law, is going to turn back the clocks on civil rights, and it's going to relegate America into the level of a military police state. And the issue here is not that we don't want, you know, legitimate suspects not to be arrested. They absolutely should be arrested. But what's problematic about this particular bill is that there's a lack of transparency in the process in which citizens are designated as terrorists by the executive branch. So it opens the door for innocent persons to be detained who would not then be allowed their Fifth or Sixth Amendment, you know, which means their day in court or to get a lawyer or get trial to challenge any evidence against them. And that's what's scary, is that we don't know what the process is. We don't know what the criteria is of folks that can be, you know, is letting someone use your cell phone, as happened to Fahed Hashmi, a student at Brooklyn College who continues to be in solitary confinement right now. So the issue here for me is transparency and really contradicting our Constitution, which gives us the Fifth and Sixth Amendment.
So Ron Paul says martial law. You say military police state. Are these exaggerations, though? I mean, you know, when we think of military police states, we think of Chile under Pinochet, or, you know, North Korea under Kim Jong-il, or, you know, those kinds of things. Is the average American, is the average Arab American going to experience anything like a military police state?
I mean, if you look at if you just look at some of the, you know, the recent controversy around NYPD surveillance of Muslim communities in New York City, I mean, you have an entire demographics unit that has specific programs that are designated to target certain communities and bookstores. I mean, they have an initiative called the Moroccan Initiative. And then looking back, I mean, this is not the first time this has happened in our country. I mean, if we look and just
they
learn from our
they
history.
They deny it, by the way. They say they only are looking for the context in which individual suspects are dwelling.
That is actually, they did not deny it. Commissioner Kelly himself, during the hearing that happened with the City Council Public Safety Committee, I was there, he did not deny this from happening. And there have been call-outs of investigations, just a recent congressional letter of 34 congressional reps asking for investigation into the NYPD's partnership with the CIA, which we know that federal agencies like the CIA should not be spying on American citizens. So this is actually, they have not admitted to not doing this work. And as a matter of fact, they continue to say how they are complying with handshoe agreements, and that also hasn't been verified at all. But I want to talk about where our country was and where we can go back to, which is our internment of Japanese Americans. I mean, we did this, you know, during that World War II. We had military detention under the guise of national security, where we detained Japanese Americans some 10, 15, you know, 10, 20 years, and we said until hostilities end. And with a war like this, and we keep calling it the war on terror, it's not exactly a very clear-cut war. And this could happen. This could go on for, you know, another century, two centuries. So the lack of transparency in this process, and I think that people really need to wake up. And the president's White House should be getting at least 150 million calls from Americans, not just the usual suspects and the you know, the activists and people working in the civil rights movement.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. We're talking about President Obama's decision to sign a bill that critics say would allow U.S. Foreign nationals and American citizens alike to be detained indefinitely without a trial if they're suspected of terrorism. And Mark Danner from the New York Review of Books and other things, let's talk for a minute about the word indefinite. The bill says things like until the end of hostilities. And it applies to, quote, a person who was a part of or substantially supported Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or associated forces that are engaged in hostilities against the U.S. or its coalition partners. So until the end of hostilities, how vague is that? Even if the war in Afghanistan were to end in 2014, as President Obama hopes that it will, like the war in Iraq ended for the United States the other day, that doesn't define the end of hostilities in the war on terror, correct?
That's correct. I'm very glad, Brian, that you read the actual words. I think that's important. And what we have is a law that essentially tries to define a POW, in effect, a POW population modeled after the way it usually is during a war. I mean, during World War II, the U.S. had POWs. They were kept imprisoned until the end of hostilities, exactly as this phrase suggests. What is different here is that the war itself, as your other guest mentioned as well, has no defined end point. We have seen 10 years after this war was declared by Congress, we've seen the death of Osama bin Laden in May. That didn't end the war. We've seen declarations by the intelligence agencies, including the CIA, that Al-Qaeda had essentially been destroyed. That didn't end the war. And indeed, one of the phrases you yourself just quoted, which talked about support for Al-Qaeda, is actually an indication of how this particular law has redefined and actually broadened the war rather than narrowing it. In other words, now you are included in this group that can be imprisoned if you have in some way supported Al-Qaeda. And that definition, as your other guest suggested, is very, very vague. So in effect, the war in this bill is in a sense being reaffirmed, redeclared, and being broadened at a point when one could have expected you know, that it's perhaps time to declare an end to it. There's one other point that we can make, which is that there are a number of prisoners, probably about 50, that, as I mentioned earlier, President Obama said in May 2009, can neither be tried nor released. They cannot be brought to trial and they cannot be released. And so the definition of indefinite when it comes to these prisoners means they can be released never. That's the definition we have from the government.
We're almost out of time, but Mark, who's in that group? What defines somebody as in that group?
Sure, Abu Zubaydah, which is the first of the so-called high-value detainees who was captured in Pakistan, I believe is in that group. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed seems to be a member of that group, although he is being tried in military commission. This gets more complicated because there are a number of people in this group who it looks like will be tried, but the government has made it very clear that even if they were acquitted, they will not be released.
And Linda Sansour, last thing as we run out of time, did you have a chance to voice these criticisms when you were at the White House recently being honored for your civil rights work, ironically?
No, it wasn't that type of the atmosphere, but I've on many occasions have sat with head of FBI, head of DHS, and I've talked directly to our different government agency about the issues affecting particularly Arab and Muslim communities, and I think that this particular defense bill really needs, we need our fellow Americans to stand up. It can't be the Muslim community standing up and saying, you know, you can't sign this law. It has to be average Americans of all races and standing up for this, because this is going to hurt anybody in our country. We all need to be up in arms on this.
Are you supporting Ron Paul for president now?
I'll be honest with you, like Ron Paul, I don't feel him on women's issues, but I'm feeling him on civil rights right now.
All right. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We've been talking about President Obama's decision to sign a bill that would allow foreign nationals and American citizens alike to be detained indefinitely without a trial if they're suspected of certain terrorism-related crimes. We thank Linda Sansour, who is with the group the Arab American Association of New York. She's the director. And journalist Mark Danner, who's written a lot for the New York Review of Books and is the author of Stripping Bare the Body, Politics, Violence, and War. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the battle over Governor Christie's nominee for state education commissioner. He is Christopher Cerf. He was a top official in Mayor Bloomberg's education department. So why is he so controversial now in New Jersey? WNYC's Bob Henley and Nancy Solomon will explain and take your calls.